Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, we're here with Piff the Magic Dragon.
Good evening.
Piff, thanks for doing it, buddy.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, you're at the
Flamingo. It was easy. I'm basically in my dress room and you just came here.
Yeah.
Imagine if I said no to this.
I know, right?
What a prick I would be.
I would have been very heartbroken.
I'm bringing everything to you.
Yeah.
You just sit there and talk.
Yeah.
And you're still saying no. Unbelievable.
But no, I usually do in a studio, so they have all this like weird equipment, buttons I've never hit, and I just hit one button and it all works. And now I just have a tabloid and a mic.
I think you're doing well.
Yeah, but it's like, you ever been to a studio? You wonder what's with all these buttons?
Yeah, they usually have a cough button, which is always nice.
Yeah.
Because I can always press it when I'm eating.
But you are the first magician that I've ever interviewed, so
well, is that good?
No, that's awesome.
You like magic?
I love magic.
I do not. So there we go.
You don't like magic?
I like people like Penn and Teller, David Copperfield. You know, a guy called Matt King is great. But it's very difficult to find good magic.
Yeah.
Most of it is, people just buying tricks and then just going and doing it without changing any of the jokes or the speed. You know, the patter or anything like that.
Yeah.
They just sort of like go on and they're really like, especially in the UK, it's a lot of like salespeople.
Yeah.
Who got bored of their job and realized they can make the money doing weddings and bar mitzvahs. So.
Is that how you started doing weddings?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had restaurants, weddings, corporate dinners.
Yeah.
And I was miserable.
Yeah.
And it showed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. People were just like, why are you so grumpy?
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean?
I don't think you're grumpy at all.
Yeah,
I think
so. Now I'm doing something I like.
Yeah. Vegas, the Flamingo.
Exactly. So now it's a different kettle of fish. But at the beginning, you know, I mean, I started when I was like 16, 17.
Yeah.
So, you know, then I was like, you know, I wanted to get into show business and I knew how to do magic, so I thought that was my path in.
Yeah.
But it was turned out to be corporate hospitality, which I was terrible at.
Yeah. But I think you're great at doing the magic now. And
well, that's what it became. Yeah. After a long time, I finally sort of found. I was like, wait a minute. If I wear a dragon outfit, then I become socially acceptable.
Because you stand out. Yeah.
No, because I'm such a dick.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got that. But
it makes all of that. Like, you know, like, it's very difficult to punch down when you're dressed in a dragon outfit.
Yeah.
So I used to, like, you know, be doing these gigs and I would, like, you know, do jokes to people or, like, burn people or whatever, which in the US is much more accepted. In the UK, that sort of, like, insult humor is more difficult to get away with.
Right.
So I used to do that all the time. And people would be like, why, you know, you're like the ear of magic.
Yeah.
So this has worked out much better for me.
I have a question. If you did America's Got Talent when Simon was on it, do you think like?
I think now it will be fine because now, you know, having sort of seen what's going on, then I would understand a bit more. But at the time, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
Because I would have done something like, which I did, you know, shoot a dog out of a cannon or. you know, like, do that thing where I put Piffles allegedly in a box.
Yeah.
I like the look on their face when you said, put the dog in a can. It just looked up like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, not again.
Well, the thing is that with a show like that, you know, I just want to do whatever I think's funniest.
Yeah.
And sometimes the joke is, oh, I'm going to, you know, do something appalling to my dog. Which is like, it's a bit like, you know, a Roadrunner cartoon. It's like the coyote falling off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the coyote doesn't die every episode. They're not like going through a bunch of coyotes and pushing them off, you know, ravines every week. It's just, you know, it's not real. But sometimes when you do this stuff on television, people either complain because they think it is real. Or they complain because they think, oh, well, somebody will get an idea.
Right.
Penn and Teller did this thing where they cut a snake in half on Saturday Night Live. And it was the most complained about thing ever on Saturday Night Live.
Really?
Yeah, and the week before, Penn had killed Teller.
Wow.
He killed him.
Yeah.
Like, he was dead. He was in a water tank and he was dead. That was it. Teller was now just dead.
Yeah.
And no complaints. The next week, they cut a snake in half and, you know, all these complaints. And one of them was this person saying, you know, I know it wasn't real, but it might give people ideas. And so that's sort of like the stupidity that you're up against. And Simon, who I don't think is stupid by any sense of the word, but I think he also feels like he has a responsibility to the audience. And as soon as you're into that, then you're into opinions. My opinion is different from him, but neither of us are right.
Right.
You know, there's no, like, actual hard fact on that. So his opinion is that, you know, you shouldn't, like, even pretend to do stuff like that. My opinion is it's fine, it's funny, everyone knows it's a joke. But I think if I had done it then I would have done something like that and instantly been kicked off. And now I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I just do other material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, when I saw you on America's Got Talent, one of the coolest things you did is, like, you always picked on Heidi and, like, you impressed Heidi immediately. You know what I mean? Like, that's got, because, like, she's not the toughest. She was one of the toughest judges on that show.
You know? Well, there was the other thing as well. I remember years ago doing the Gong Show at the Comedy Store when I first started.
On Sunset.
No, the Comedy Store in
London. Oh, in London.
Because that's where I've only been here for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, and most of the time I've spent in Vegas. But when I was in the UK, you know, I came up in, you know, some of the comedy clubs, but more of the sort of like, I guess like more cabaret nights or variety nights or whatever. But when I was trying to move over more into the comedy clubs, I went to the Comedy Store in London and did the Gong Show. And Jim Jefferies was
I love Jim Jefferies.
The host.
Yeah.
And he was whipping the audience up into a frenzy. It was just horrible.
Yeah.
They were just like it was horrible. And he loved it. And they were just monsters. And the three acts before me, there were like 17 acts on the bill. And three acts before me refused to go on stage. They all just chickened out.
Yeah.
And then he goes, you know, please welcome Piff the Magic Dragon. So I go out, you know, dragon outfit, to like one of the most angry mobs I've ever performed for, and they had these three judges, you know, who could gong you off. So I just chose one of the judges for a trick, and then now like they can't gong me off because the judge is on stage and I'm like berating
them
for not helping. So that was the same thing I did on America's Got Talent. Heidi like never really gets jokes.
Yeah.
So I just got her on stage and like used her in the trick, and
that's actually very smart.
That is
because, I didn't even think about that. Especially if you know, when you put it in perspective with the Gong Show, where they gong you off,
right?
Disassemble the enemy.
Yeah.
Disassemble the enemy.
Yeah.
That's a much quicker way of saying what I just did.
Yeah. That's why I got him.
That's why you got him. The other thing is with comedy, it's like, you can't fake it.
Yeah.
It's either funny or it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if somebody's playing an instrument or whatever, and you don't know much about that, then the difference between somebody who is average, good, and great is that you know, if somebody's very good at the guitar or they're a genius, sometimes that can be difficult to tell. You know, I listen to like classical music and I can't tell you what makes somebody a genius in that field.
Oh, really?
No, not at all. Like, I can tell you somebody who's like, they're very good.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell those people apart from a genius.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's all like the interpretation of the piece, and I don't have enough understanding of that. So, whereas comedy is not the case.
Yeah.
You're either funny or you're not.
That's true.
But so, I mean, you have like someone like Heidi, and they're just like rolling their eyes or not laughing, if it's like not their thing, then straight away the audience goes, well, they're not funny.
Yeah.
So you have to like find a way to involve all these people.
Yeah.
And get them laughing.
But like, back to the genius thing, like, I agree with you, but I also feel that, like, I feel the UK, people from UK are actually funnier.
Like, than Americans?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, like.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, for example, I watch a lot of romantic comedies. I think Hugh Grant's one of the funniest ones.
Yeah, but then,
he's that sarcasm and that, you know.
But Bill Murray.
Bill Murray? I don't know. I think Hugh Grant's way better.
You're kidding.
Dead serious.
Oh, my God.
Maybe because I appreciate that humor more. I don't know.
But no, look, I mean, Hugh Grant is incredible, but...
It's like Russell Brand. Do you like
him? Yeah, I like Russell Brand.
All right.
Yeah.
What about Jerry Seinfeld?
No. Why do people do people?
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe that's, maybe that's that thing about, the foreign is always a little bit more attractive. The grass is always greener.
Yeah.
So, I grew up in the UK. I mean, but having said that, one of the reasons I got into comedy was because of people like Rowan Atkinson and, the Young Ones and, which was written by Ben Elton, who's like Richard Curtis's writing partner a lot. That's an incredible, incredible amount of talent in the UK, but there's also like some game change, like stuff over here is amazing.
Oh, there is game changing, but what I'm saying is like Richard Curtis, for example, I think he's one of the best writers.
Right.
Like Love Actually, brilliant, and like he's very. Like, that's the humor I like,
Right.
So.
I think the other thing over here is everything's at a far higher pace.
Yeah.
I just did a bit that I used to do 4 years ago. And we just played the Magic Castle in L.A. And we sort of brought it back for that. And I was like, oh, my God. There are, like, six laughs in this four-minute bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is so... far behind the pace of the stuff I do now because I'm used to working over here and it's like you have to have a laugh every sort of 4, 5, 6 seconds over here.
Right.
You have to like really pace it over here. And in the UK I think you can get away with a lot more gentle material.
That's true.
You know, they're also used to turning over material every year in the UK. And
like not doing it again.
And creating like a specific show, like here's a show about my dad, here's a show about the time when I was in the army or whatever it is. It's like these theme shows, whereas over here it can be more about, well, here's my hour of material that I've been working on for the last few years, which is definitely
like a one-man show out there, like they do right. One-man shows,
yeah.
And then here it's more just
you finish. You do 50 minutes and you just stop.
Yeah.
That's the most bizarre thing to me is like when your comedian's in the middle of a bit, they'll get the joke and they're like, all right, good night.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what happened? That was your closer? and that's the thing over here. It's just like you do your time and then you walk off stage. So in the UK, it's sort of more like beginning, middle, end.
So was like doing like America's Got Talent or any other like shows that you do on TV, is it tough for you because you only have a certain amount of time?
Yeah, it's really tough to do magic in that time because, there's a lot of stuff that you normally have to set up.
Yeah.
But it's a good exercising in editing and I always find it amazing when you do a pre-record because in those circumstances, usually you can do as long as you want, within reason.
Right.
If they want to get 5 minutes, you can do 10 minutes. And then they'll edit it down.
Right.
That's what they did on the first couple of rounds of America's Got Talent. And then I was able to look at my act and go, well, if I'm not me, what do I keep in?
Right.
And then you can lose everything else because, the goal for me is always to try and get it to the edited state on stage.
Right.
But it's just so difficult to do. Whereas a, TV editor has no qualms about, boom, boom, boom.
Was that your goal when you were on the show? Was to win, or was it your...
No. Yeah. It was to get to the end. It was to get the most airtime.
Yeah.
Which means you have to get to the finals and the results round. But there's nothing really that funny about winning.
Yeah.
As a comedian.
Yeah.
It's like, as soon as you get the goal, then the story ends.
Yeah.
So, in comedy, in that show, as soon as you got the prize... then what's your next show going to be? Oh, here I said, well, I'm doing dickheads.
That's actually true. All the winners who've won that show, what are they doing?
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, you've got some people it really works for. Like, there's a magician who won. But he was like this sort of like everyday, like a boy next door kind of guy. So it makes sense that he gets crowned the winner. And then now he's a Vegas superstar.
Yeah.
That journey makes sense. But for me, being a grumpy magic dragon who never you know, who, like, is not interested in everything that everyone else is interested in, or, you know, whatever, like, there's no through line. If I won that, it would just be like, oh, shit, what do I do now?
Yeah.
You know, so it's much funnier to lose, and then I have that, oh, well, now I'm trying to make it, you know, in another way, or now I go on this show and do this, and now I go, you know.
So you went in knowing you wanted to go all the way to the top, but you didn't want to go win it.
Yeah, so I very...
That's very hard to do, because, like, I mean, I see your point.
It's not that hard to do. Here's how you do it.
Okay.
You try your best all the way through, and then you just do something stupid in the finals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. Like, yeah.
But it is... So, like, I was... And you have to, like, look... You have to, like... not look like you're trying to win it, because you are, you know, in a way, I am trying to win it.
Right.
But just on my own terms. You know, I'm not, like, going in and going, oh, I don't care about this stuff. To me, my prize is, can I get to the end of the thing with the maximum airtime and then launch my career off the back of that?
Yeah.
So that's like a concrete goal, and that's something that is not guaranteed. So you have to win that. You have to earn that.
Yeah.
So, you know, every week I would have to go, okay, well, I want to do the best thing I can. So up until then, it's difficult. And then at the end, you have to find a way to lose in a funny way.
Yeah.
So I shot a dog out of a cannon, which sort of did the trick. It was fun.
I love it. Every time you say shoot the dog out the cannon, it just looks right up like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got, yeah.
She's like, not today.
Not today.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, obviously you knew the dogs were going to be okay, but, like, were they, like, kind of scared, like, the dogs, or do they know that they're going
to... No, it's mandatory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Otherwise, it would get very expensive quickly.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy if you did something different where you just got into a fight with Barney in the front of the stage.
Yeah.
That would have been crazy. In the finals, like, towards the finals, he just starts fighting Barney.
Yeah.
It'd Barney be like a Godzilla down. King Kong match. I don't
think they can afford the licensing.
Yeah.
But
I heard the
that
guy,
would ruin kids' childhood, right there. Oh, yeah. Like, Barney, no!
I heard the guy who played Barney is like as a pervert or something. Like, didn't he get arrested? Well,
Barney did.
Yeah, yeah, I heard
Elmo he too. The guy who does Elmo as well.
Elmo. Yeah. Nobody's clean.
Yeah. Especially on the children's shows.
Yep.
But you're here at
Mr. Rogers. We don't have Mr. Rogers in
there. I know he's the only one who has no dirt.
But you're right. He's the only one. And that's great, isn't it? That restores some faith.
Yeah.
In the UK, we had a whole bunch of people going down for this stuff.
Yeah.
There was a guy called Jimmy Savile. He was having sex with dead kids.
Whoa!
Yeah, beat that. Beat that. Allegedly. Whoa. I better say allegedly.
That's gross.
Was he going to, like, funeral homes or something? Wow, that's just... Wow.
Morgues. Allegedly.
Wow.
Wow.
According to various newspaper reports, he was allegedly doing this.
He's like, I need to check for zombies. What?
This is not a...
Yeah, that's...
That is...
That's pretty gross.
Yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
But you're at the Flamingo.
This took a turn for the worst, didn't it?
No. Yeah. I didn't expect him to say that.
So thank God for Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good old Fred Rogers.
Yeah. But you're at the Flamingo Casino. It got extended all the way till next year, right? So.
Yeah, it's like we've been here almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years in November.
Yeah.
And we spend half the time here and half the time we tour the US and Canada. And next week I'm going to the UK for like 2 weeks, which is, that's it for the whole year.
Yeah.
Doing London, Edinburgh, Manchester. But it's a lot of work, but I play here sort of Sunday through Wednesday or Thursday and then do the weekends on the road.
Yeah.
Every week.
So, but like each show, it's a different show, right?
The ones here on the road is different.
Yeah.
The Vegas show is different material, and the road show is different material.
Yeah.
But we just changed it, actually. We were always working stuff in on the road and then bringing it here, and we just started doing the opposite because we had to, and it's actually a lot easier. So we're gonna like change the Vegas show up a lot more.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Now, is the Magic Dragon outfit that you wear, is that the original one, or how many outfits have you had?
No, I've been through a few.
Oh, yeah?
I do, like, 300 shows, maybe, and they're done.
Yeah.
So, and we do that at least every year, I think. We do, 400 shows a year, probably.
So you get a new outfit every year with the same design?
I get about two.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's like The Flash on CW. Yeah. He has a new outfit every season.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
And they've always been green?
They've always been green, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about, like, changing colors or
Somebody once asked me, I did one of those, you know those, oh, you might not have them over here. Do you have clip shows over here where it's like 50 greatest things or 100 greatest things, and then they sort of shoot them all, like 100, you know, here are the 100 best movies ever made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they shoot a bunch of celebrities.
They talk about it. Yeah, yeah.
And the way they do it is they just have a green screen behind the celebrity.
Right.
And they just talk. So once this, they did like the 50 greatest magic tricks, and a trick I did was like featured on it, so they asked me to come in and do an interview for it. And they said, oh, hang on a minute, we've got a green screen. I said, yeah, that's not going to work, is it? And they said, do you have any other colour outfits? And I said, do you not have a blue screen?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that's a bit easier.
Oh my God.
That is crazy.
That's actually true, because when I did this podcast, it used to be a video podcast.
Right.
And they always told me, like, when I get the guests, they say, okay, you got to make sure they don't wear green. And I was like, why? And then the green screen thing, I was like, that's right.
I do the weather when I do morning press.
Yeah.
I do the weather in, you know, various cities, and then I'm always invisible. So it's just like my face and some diamonds floating.
Yeah. But that's part of the being a dragon, maybe,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It's the dragon life.
Yeah.
Who's the most vicious animal you've, like, encountered as the dragon?
The dog.
Oh, the dog?
Yeah.
You saw the way the dog was looking at us when we came in.
He attacked you when you came in.
Yeah. But
let me tell you, if you get up right now, he'll attack you again.
Yeah.
You can never leave.
If the dog could talk, the stuff he would say.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, he's seen many things, yeah.
Who would you make your... Like, if you could give the dogs a voice, who would you give them?
Oh, that's a good question. If I could give the dogs a voice, who would I give them? Well, we actually just given him a voice.
Oh, yeah?
Because you don't know how difficult magic is, and this is a good example. There was a guy... And he retired in 1927, and his name was Alexander, and he used to do an act called Alexander the Man Who Knows. Mm-hmm. And he's reasonably famous still for having this poster of him in a turban with like these sort of piercing eyes, and it would just say Alexander the Man Who Knows. And the idea is that you could ask him any question and he would know, and you'd write down his questions and he would know what you wrote down without even looking. And the turban was like the source of his power. You know, that was how we read minds. So a couple of years ago, I thought, well, let's do a trick with Piffles where he has a little turban, and some of the artwork's just over there. So we wanted to get a turban for him that goes on his head and lights up. And it was originally called the Eye Chihuahua, like an eye. That was the original bit, and then it morphed over a year or so into a turban. So the idea was a turban that would speak, and then it would light up. You know, it has a ruby on it, which would light up. And then I could do, like, bits with him. And the voice is like the, you know, the sort of generic... It's not the Siri voice. I think it's like... It's almost a bit like Stephen Hawking's voice.
Yeah.
You know who that is?
Yeah.
So it's a bit like that. And it took us 2 years, and in the end... We had to latex mold the turban, 3D print the base, like get all these things and take them all apart, find a bright LED to match into the thing, then find a way to put all that through the show sound system and have like a Bluetooth link. Then we had to put a delay on it because it was quicker to get to the speaker than it was the Bluetooth thing.
Ooh.
And literally this week we just put it in after 2 years.
Oh, wow.
After 2 years.
Wow.
So I was just before you came here.
We did show up a little early. I'm sorry about
the voice.
That.
It's fine. So this is his voice. Currently, I was going to go through iTunes now. This is.
Good evening. Let me reassure you.
There you go. So it's like that.
Wow.
Here we go.
Good evening. This is my mysterious voice. I am the dog who knows. I see all, sense all, hear all, smell all, taste all, sniff all, lick all, hump all.
So we now do 20 minutes with Mr. Piffles speaking like that. But the funny thing is that he actually does know. So people in the audience, at random, he can tell them, like, you know, who they're married to, the name of their cat, whatever it is. So that he has this incredible psychic ability.
Can he tell, like, future stuff? Like,
and, like, you know, like...
So can you tell if I'm going to win $1 million next week or no?
Well, here's the thing. Right now, he's not being paid.
Right.
Ah,
see. He only does it during showtime.
Oh,
you know what's cool about it, though? He's probably getting hated on by every Chihuahua because he's got the cool voice. Yeah, seriously, he's got the Stephen Hawking.
He's got the Stephen Hawking.
Most Chihuahuas kind of rest like this or something like that.
You know? Exactly, or they're sort of like some like terrible sort of Mexican accent.
Exactly, like no.
And he's from Scotland.
Oh, sweet.
So that would be ridiculous.
That's
right. Yeah, the Mexican accent.
Yeah. That'd be wild. They'd be like, this is contradicting.
Yeah. I have $20 in my pocket, and I just want to know if the girl I love will ever love me.
Well, as I said, unfortunately.
I have to come back show.
We're going to have to bring biscuits back, like doggy biscuits.
Yeah.
He's probably not going to accept those.
Yeah. And then they'll probably just burn you as well.
But no, that's very awesome, man. That's actually very genius, too. Like,
that is.
Like, you chose that voice, but, like, pretty soon, like, with technology, you can, like, make that voice with any voice. Like,
exactly. We already have, like, a voice changer in the line as well.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
So that he can, like, sound like it sounds like a, like, you know, like Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when he's behind the curtain, he can do that as well.
Yeah. Wizard of Oz, that's actually funny you brought it up, because I was watching it. I had no idea he would be behind the curtain.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, when I... Yeah.
He wasn't good at hiding seek as a child. That's all we know.
Yeah, and then then you watch it. Like, when you watch it the first time, you didn't know. And then when you watch it again, you're like, it makes perfect sense.
It's one of those things that... I just watched Superman 4.
Oh, snap.
Recently. Have you seen this?
Richard Pryor one?
No, it's the one after the Richard Pryor one.
Oh, okay.
It was the one with Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren.
And Christopher Reeves. And when I was a kid, I was so excited about that movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
My dad took me to see it when it came out, and I was like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Right.
I saw that recently. It makes zero sense. It's just bizarre. It's just like, who edited this? It's like, I can't make head or tail of it. But as a kid, absolutely made perfect sense to me.
I think I had that experience with Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
You know, same here.
It's like the best movie. I love this. And now it's the, like, George Clooney. This is terrible. But
when you see it now, you're just like, this doesn't, like, even if you don't like the, now you go, well, I've outgrown this because they're like, well, but it's not even that. It's like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, this goes from this thing to this thing with no explanation.
Yeah.
You know, like the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie. Like, I loved it as a kid, but as an adult, I'm like, you got this guy and all his enemies are like 5'1". And they're at his knees. I'm like, that doesn't look right.
Yeah. Is that one of the things you do when you watch movies? You realize, okay, this is how it doesn't make sense like that? Or is that just something
recent? Only when it's obvious.
Yeah. So that's just something... So you've been doing it, but like... Cause like
I guess I haven't been doing it, but I'm sure you've seen a movie. I mean, I heard like what The Snowman was like that. I haven't seen it yet. But you know, when they haven't finished it, they couldn't finish the movie, and now they're just putting it together from what's left over.
Yeah. Just throw it all together like
this.
Wow.
And that, I mean, there was a movie I saw called The Owl, and it was about this superhero, but he didn't seem to have any powers.
Yeah.
The only power he seemed that he could see well in the dark.
Like an owl.
Yeah.
Like an owl.
Yeah.
And he had this coat which was bulletproof. And there were two scenes in the movie. There's one of him training in his dojo, and there's another one of his house getting blown up with his wife and kids in it.
Yeah.
And they obviously ran out of so much money that they continued to replay these scenes throughout the movie in ever-decreasing speeds. So by the end of it, his house getting blown up took literally 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you watch a movie like that, you're like, okay, well, you didn't finish it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure as a kid, I would have watched that and gone, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. Like,
yay!
Yeah. You want to hear the best owl joke ever?
Yeah.
Did you know owls eat cats?
No.
Do you know how they do it?
No.
I'll tell you later.
Okay, well. There it goes. Come in.
That's where
specifically to laugh in case I didn't.
And he failed.
You did.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished. So.
You're fired.
He did well. He laughed for you.
No, that was after you told him to. He's supposed
to. Oh, no, I laughed beforehand. I laughed before he did.
Oh, you did?
Oh, if you're replaying that, that was a sincere laugh.
Oh, you're rehired.
You're fired, rehired.
We had a couple Twitter questions for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So why are you called Piffed?
Why?
Well, he gets asked that a lot.
Well, what happened was I went to a costume party, and I didn't have a costume to wear. I said to my sister, "Do you have anything?" She said, "Yeah, I have a dragon outfit under my bed." And I said, "No more," because I didn't want to know why. I just borrowed the dragon outfit. So I go to this costume party. Nobody's in costume. It's just me. I was very pissed off. And my friend said, "What's your pro? You know, you should do this in your act. You could be Puff the Magic Dragon." I said, "Wait, I could be Piff the Magic Dragon. You might have heard of my older brother, Steve." So that was the joke. That was I came up with that joke immediately.
Yeah.
And that was why I called it Piff.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool.
And also, like, there's something just, you know, there's no reason, but there's something stupidly funny about Piff the Magic Dragon. I just think.
Because it's not Puff.
Yeah. Right, but Puff or Paff.
Yeah.
It's not as good.
Yeah.
Piff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah.
No.
Piff rhyme makes me...
Paff almost sounds like a beer.
Yeah. Piff is, like, there's, a few different meanings of it. It means, like, a girl looks... You know, it means something's good if something's piff.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, another word for weed.
Yeah.
It's also a bad smell. Something's piffy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So, wow. Works on many levels.
Yeah. Nice.
I think I'll read the second question. Oh. Because that first question, I'm sure you get a lot, right?
It's fine.
You don't mind? Oh, okay. Second question. Has anyone ever accidentally called you Piss?
Yes. I get Piss the Magic Dragon. I get a whole bunch of them. Mr. Piffles gets more.
Yeah.
He gets Mr. Pickles, Mr. Pitbulls. He's got a whole bunch of them that I've like put written down somewhere.
Do you like save them all and then just think of maybe they could be future jokes?
Oh, yeah. I want to you know, eventually make a TV show, so they're all good material for that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could be the first magician who actually has a real TV show,
though. Yeah. That's what we're working on.
Oh, that would be awesome, man.
Yeah.
You're going to like get it aired in the United States too, right?
Well, probably first.
Oh, excellent.
That's perfect.
I'm definitely more popular over here than I am in the UK now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we crush it over here, and in the UK, it's...
It's like high school, kind of. You weren't cool in high school, but as soon as you leave, all of a sudden you're cool everywhere else.
It's difficult to be a prophet in your own land.
Wow. Yeah. Oh.
Very true.
I didn't know that, because I always knew you were popular here, but I figured, like, at your hometown, you know, everyone would know.
Yeah. No, this is where... You know, England, their patron saint is a dragon slayer, St. George. It's a very bad country for my species.
Yes, yeah. That's true. Do you live in England too, or do you just live?
No, I just live here.
Oh, yeah. So,
at least you escaped.
Yeah,
I made it.
Yeah. Yes,
just in time.
Exactly.
Before they closed the borders.
Before they started, that's true.
It's true.
Who's your favorite cartoon character? You like cartoons?
Yeah, I like Adventure Time.
Oh,
I love Adventure Time.
Yeah.
And do you remember Dexter's Laboratory?
Yeah. He was the scientist guy.
Yeah.
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 That was awesome.
My laboratory.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Have you ever wanted to do like those voice things? Because you would be
perfect. Oh, yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. I kept like making loud comments to everyone. Like my lawyer knew the people who did Adventure Time. Somebody who just did some music for us knew those guys. And I kept on, you know, making very loud hints, dropping loud hints. But they just can't. I think they cancelled or they finished it. So that dream will never come true.
This is actually a personal question for me. You did the Irvine Improv maybe 2 or 3 years
ago. Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a gorgeous venue.
Yeah.
But, like, I do stand-up, and I live actually, like, right by the Irvine Improv. And I asked them if I could open for you, and they said you don't do openers.
We have an opener.
Yeah.
But usually we bring our own opener.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But was it a comedian? Because they said you don't do comedian openers.
No, we...
I just want to know if they were telling me the truth, or... Because, like...
Well, I tell you, at the time, my girlfriend was opening for me.
Oh, yeah.
Doing sort of, like, MC comedy.
Right.
Stuff. We've never really had a... Right at the beginning, we did we used like whoever was opening, and it didn't really work. It didn't really work that much. And we've also, you know, we had like openers and features, and you know, we were pulling, certainly at the beginning, we were pulling a very strange crowd into a comedy club.
Right.
Because it really was that America's Got Talent audience, and most of them had never been to a comedy club.
Right.
Oh.
So, you know, the feature and the opener would kind of struggle because nobody was there to... They didn't want to see them.
Yeah.
It was a bit more like a concert.
Yeah, yeah.
So over time, we found... now we have three different people who open for us. One of them's this guy called Francis, who like his whole act is themed around our show.
Uh-huh.
And that works really well. Another guy's a guy called Hillbill, who does a magic act. Another guy's a guy called Stuart Edge, who's like a YouTube guy.
Yeah.
Who does a magic act as well. So now I think you know, like a 15-20 minute comedy open will be fine.
Oh.
But I just think at the beginning it took a while. But even so, like them. And then the other thing is you're always sort of dealing with how much money there is as well.
Right, yeah.
You know, bringing in an act is always more expensive, so.
Yeah. Okay, so they probably didn't lie because...
Oh, they didn't. Because
when you're struggling, you know, and you know, I do that, you know, like, it kind of made sense because, like, a magic show, comedy show, but I was like, but he also does comedy, too.
No, I think a comedian would be fine now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool, so that's good for... Next time you do comedy clubs for other comics to, you know, submit and stuff.
Yeah.
Because if they told to me, who knows who else they told to.
Who knows?
Yeah. You know, they could have been like...
I mean, the other thing is, you know, I'm sure you wouldn't do this, but, you know, we did have a couple of guys, you know, just like coming out with filthy, filthy material.
Oh, really?
And it was just like
that barroom type stuff.
You know, and I don't work clean, you know.
Yeah.
But I also, I'm not really... In any way, shape or form, a sort of like filthy,
no,
super edgy act.
Yeah,
you know, I'm pretty middle of the road when it comes to
that
stuff.
The type of comedy I like is that's just like you could be dirty or whatever, but you have to be smart.
Yeah, as long as it's there for a reason.
Yeah,
I love some like filthy comics, but
yeah.
But all the people I like, it's there for a, you know, it's like it's kind of like solidly constructed.
Exactly.
As opposed to, you know, you can always hear it when people are just throwing in for rhythm or
for shock value.
Or take someone else's jokes and because they don't have it, you know.
Yeah, you know, they haven't, like, written it correctly, so they're just sort of, like, throwing in a couple of curse words to you know, to get the rhythm of the sentence, yeah.
That's not necessarily true, though. You don't need the... Sometimes you don't even need the curse words, you just...
No, normally you just have to write it properly.
Yeah, exactly. And then,
But then I would say, you know, but then there is something really funny, like, about a well-placed curse word.
Yeah.
It's like, and also for me, it's sort of like, you know, when I call, you know, when I'm calling somebody a little bitch or whatever, that's funny.
Just the way you said it, it's like...
You know, they're being insulted by a guy in a dragon outfit.
Yeah.
Like, it's hilarious.
You see somebody crying outside because they lost a dollar in a machine?
We get, you know, we get kids in, and we say like 13 plus in Vegas, but we still get like 8-year-olds or whatever. And there's always a line there, but it's also really, really funny to call a kid a little dickhead. You know, if they're being a dickhead.
Right.
You know, and they usually are.
Yeah,
that's a majority.
Usually, like, coming up with something, it's like, shut up, you little prick. And it's just like, they love it, and their parents love it because it's like, yeah, I can't say that to my kid.
Yeah.
Who was the guy
who had sex with the dead kids again?
Allegedly.
Yeah,
allegedly. You got to make sure to thought allegedly.
Allegedly.
This guy called Jimmy Savile.
Yeah, you're going to be like, hey, if you keep talking, I'm going to drop you off at Jimmy's house.
Like the boogeyman, Jimmy Savile.
Like, really scary.
There was this thing also about, you know, I hate that thing of like, you know, when you pretend to be one thing and you're actually something else.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So one of the things I always try and do is just to, like, this is how I'm really feeling right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So if somebody is a prick to me, then I would just be like, can you just stop being a prick right now? You know?
Yeah, I actually really, that's very respectful, too, because it's like, you know, you don't want to jump on their level, you know what I mean? You
just want to say, right.
Like, respect my opinions, I respect your opinions, we're cool.
Well, it's like, you know, like dealing with hecklers, then usually it's just best to say whatever you're thinking.
Right. That's true.
You know, to just try and get it out as quickly as you can, and that's usually the the appropriate response.
Do people heckle you a lot?
All the time.
Really?
Yeah, I think people like they try and join in.
Right.
You know, and also I'm really in the audience's face. I'm like, because I interact with them a lot. You know, I'm like getting them to do tricks and stuff all the time. So they're a big part of the show.
But is that really considered heckling if you're bringing them in?
No, I didn't think so. No. Yeah. I mean, not there's. You're right. There's like heckling and there's, you know, heckling covers a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, there is that sort of heckling, which is like somebody hating the act and trying to like ruin the show. That's one area of heckling. People rarely do that. Although these days things are so politically charged that that can still happen. Yeah. You know, because I've got, you know, jokes about everything, and you know, sometimes people will get offended.
Yeah.
Magic dragon.
Well, like, because, like, my comedy, because I have a form of autism called Asperger syndrome. And so I talk about that in my comedy. That's my comedy. And then, like, the other day I was talking about it, and then they said, "You have autism of support." I was like, "Well, technically I do, because it got renamed to Asperger, you know, to autism of support." But it's like, if I were to say on every joke, autism of support, it doesn't.
Well, also,
joke.
Like, that's a new term, and, you know, I understand.
But it's like
Asperger's,
the PC
like,
thing.
Right.
It's
yeah,
like,
but...
Come on, you know?
You know, PC principles kicking the door in.
Yeah.
Hey, bro.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough... That's a tough battle.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, it's still the same thing. And I mean,
yeah, we got all the time with a dog.
All right.
Well, like, you know, I mean, people just object... You know, Peter object to owning animals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Once you draw that line, it's like, well... It doesn't matter what you, it doesn't matter how you dress it up, you're still going to get complaints.
Yeah, and then most people who complain about, or post people from PETA, have a bunch of pets themselves.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense. Like,
and
you're
and that's the other thing, you know,
Piffles
is like with me almost 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, he's far more around me than most dogs are, or most pets, because most people go to work and they leave their dogs at home or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So he lives a pretty good life, and... but you can't argue with that with anyone.
I have a question about that. So, is it Piffles and then who's the other? Piffles 2?
Well, this is Piffles. This is the original. And he's the only one who does the shows. And then we thought, well, we should get another dog so that, you know, in case anything happens. So we got this other Chihuahua who looks just like Mr. Piffles. Identical. He's terrible at magic. He's too happy.
that was like the one that I laid back dog.
He just, you know, he sleeps. He's like sleeps on stage. I've had him snoring in my case before, you know, and it's, and when you have that, it's like, it's really funny, because then I'm claiming he's doing all these, you know, like Mr. Pills is solving the Rubik's Cube or whatever he's doing, and he's doing nothing. So it's like a funny idea. Whereas the other dog is like, would be a great stage dog. You know, he would like sit, roll over, do all these tricks, but. In my show, unfortunately, I didn't do any of that, so he's a bit too excitable.
Yeah.
But he does the meet and greets often.
The other dog?
Yeah, the other dog, because people get very...
He just disappeared, didn't he?
He's underneath a desk somewhere. He's got a little cubby hole that he sleeps in.
Oh, okay.
People get, you know, they, it's crazy. People like right in the dog's face all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, dogs are... I mean, Pitbulls is pretty good, but after a while, they'll start snapping.
Yeah, they will.
Get,
yeah,
like, just people just like pushing their face right into his,
and then they'll growl.
His face, yeah. Whereas the other dog is much more friendly, so he does those meet and greets for us.
Awesome. Now you have a podcast too.
Oh yeah, we do. Yeah,
and so what's the podcast? It's
called the Piff Pod.
The Piff Pod.
Yeah,
and is Piffles on it too? Like,
no, he's not on it.
Oh
no.
Yeah.
It's just me sort of talking to people that I like.
Yeah.
That's it. It's got, yeah, I just think, you know, part of it is, I thought it would be nice to be able to talk about what happened every week, because it's always so crazy.
Right.
And then part of it is just to sort of practice that stuff.
Now, I have a question. Do you ever, like, listen to your own podcast and think, because in the moment you say, you know, like, we experienced laughter, we've came up with some good jokes together. You ever, like, re-listen to it and be like, that's great, I want to write, you know, and then do it in the act?
Not in that podcast.
No.
If I say something really funny and I go, oh, that could be a bit, then I remember that.
Right.
But with the podcast, I try and just do it and leave it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Whereas everything else, I spend my time editing.
Right.
You know, I spend my life trying to make my hour-long show, like, the best it can be, so...
Hi, so, baby. I didn't know you were doing
it in
here.
Don't worry.
Hi. I'm Keith.
I'm Day.
I am Jade.
Jade just walked in. Who is
this? Is Piff.
My assistant and girlfriend of my life.
Hello.
Hi.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you. We're about to wrap up. We really appreciate you giving us the time, and you know, it's really awesome.
Thanks, buddy.
But I do want to talk about your 1 hour special that's coming out.
Yeah.
And it's editing right now.
Yeah, we got to finish it. Yeah, we're gonna go and shoot a bunch of tricks like outside. That we shot the live show. That's done. So now we're gonna go and shoot a couple of things outside the showroom.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do that in September, October, and then hopefully have it done by the end of the year.
Was it a one show shot or
did we did four shows.
Yeah, that's what a lot of them do.
Yeah. So. This is the dog being overexcited.
Sorry, the dogs are getting overexcited. I'm here.
Oh, no, it's awesome. Yep. Where can the folks at home follow you on Facebook, Twitter?
Facebook, Twitter. Everything's Piff the Magic Dragon. Except for Twitter, which is the Piff.
The Piff.
Yeah.
I realized that the hard way because yesterday I thought we were doing this and I retweeted it. And then
I'm notoriously bad at keeping a schedule.
Yeah, and then the producer.
I thought you were right.
So
I rang up my publicist, and she said no. On this occasion, I was correct. So that was nice. You gave me a gift there.
Oh, excellent! I'm glad I could give you a gift because I was like, oh man, I was like, oh god, I would have been here all of it, and like, it's me off. I don't know.
No.
Well, thanks for doing it, man. And
thanks, guys.
I love you very much, man.
Thanks meeting you, man.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Tune in next time, guys.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.